Thank you, Honorable Secretary and Honorable Members.
As the Chair, as the Chairperson has indicated, we have made a detailed presentation late last year. This is merely just to recap what we have said. So, in terms of this presentation, it is not new. Instead, it's a condensed version of the previous presentation. The background to the bill as follows. The first one is the factor is leading to preventable cause of death worldwide. It is estimated that it kills about 4.9 people annually. And it's also.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the trying for people who are smoking, but I did not hear anything about the under 18. What measures do you put in place for the people who are selling tobacco for under 18? I'm on the point of penalties where the act proposes that or recommends 500 rand penalty when smoking in the public area. My question is, who is going to institutionalize this penalty? What processes are going to be formed? Processes are going to be followed when one found a smoking in that public area. Who is going to be the custodian of this legislation so that the petition is an implementation of the plan? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Following on from my honourable colleague, my question was around implementation, enforcement, and the penalties. Presumably, in terms of enforcement, the majority of this act relies on self-regulation with penalties in order to reduce them, because you naturally can't police every single area, although you know, you have to have something to be in part of your answer. My question, however, relates around the success of penalties under the existing legislation, particularly the 1999 amendment. How successful has the implementation of those penalties been in terms of enforcement and collecting fines? What levels of government have been involved in that? And the question, the reason I ask this is because the aim is to increase the penalty under the current legislation. The issue I'm concerned with here is whether inducing the increase is there in order to force a greater degree of self-regulation, and if so, is that practical? Because and also reasons, because these are very, very high fines, whether those fees will indeed be used to provide for increased policing under this legislation.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to understand, since South Africa is one of the co-signatories to the framework, as to where I'm for now, because I should think a number of countries, 100-something countries, include Zimbabwe and Malawi, which their economy totally relies on tobacco. So I just want to know as to whether the two countries maybe do have some sort of an impact to the country and the amendment. And second to that, I just want to know what loopholes have been identified in terms of the framework, hence this legislation or hence this amendment before us today. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I actually just wanted to be informed from the department's point of view whether there are any health benefits from the use of tobacco products. If there are none, whether are we moving towards ending tobacco completely? Yes.
Thank you for those questions. I will refer some of them to Mr. Amy Taylor, who is the legal representative here. The issue around the protection of children and minors in an ordinary household, there it is, we cannot prescribe that in legislation, because that's normal domestic activity that are taking place. However, there must be an increased level of awareness, you know, the health promotion that is associated not just with the introduction of the amended legislation, but the health promotion from a general point of view, reducing health risk behavior, etc., etc. So there it is then targeting households from a health promotion point of view and instilling good health practices, but obviously making sure that people get the necessary support also to do that. The under 18 measures and the policing I will give to Mr. Kleinan, but let me just jump to the others. The tobacco producing countries, for example, Zimbabwe, that the honourable member indicated, also links to the last question in terms of banning. The purpose of this legislation is not to ban the production of tobacco and or manufacturing of tobacco products. It is making communities aware of the health risks associated with that. You also cannot give enforce this legislation onto an individual to say you can't buy cigarettes. And that's why we said the intention of this legislation is to instill a practice of healthy behavior, and those who are smoking tobacco and using tobacco products to reduce the smoking in order for them to increase their health status and therefore reduce the impact of tobacco products. So the purpose of the legislation is not to cure the tobacco industry, if I can use that word. It is rather to also place certain responsibility on the manufacturing of tobacco products, for example, the advertising, etc. In our previous presentation, we did show a picture, for example, of candy sweets that are exhibited or displayed together with or next to a shelf with cigarette products. And the cigarette, the way the cigarette products were displayed actually drew much more attention than the candy. So that's the kind of intention of this legislation, to therefore put a higher level of responsibility on the manufacturing industry regarding tobacco products, but also at the same time use this legislation to make users of that product much more aware of the dangers and therefore require them to enter into a process of more healthy behavior. I'll ask Mr. Kleinan to deal with the penalty and policing issue.
Thank you, Jim. The issue of the penalties with regard to children under the age of 8 is not being dealt with in this act here. The reason is because selling and exporting those were regarded as forming part of trade. It is the intention of the department to raise the age limitation of the sentencing to that of 18, because it comes to the thing in line with the provisions of the Constitution that says that children under the age of 18 years of age. The reason why it's not being dealt with here, although, like I said, it comes from the tag of the bills, and it would be dealt with fully in the 76 bill, which is followed in this way. definitely that they will be increasing the price, and the policing will be done in terms of the municipality in my age out to take this in offices.
Thanks, Chair. My question was a bit more detailed. It was the success of policing under the existing bill since 1999 was what I was really, really interested in. How effective has that been? And whether indeed the increase in the penalties is the purpose of self-regulation is really an admission that the current policing of the bill does not work.
Through you, Honourable Chairperson. We do not have specific statistics in that regard, but the concern in relation to increasing fines and having a much better handle on dealing with offenders were based on the number of complaints that we've received within the department in terms of either people offending the current legislation, contravening rather the current legislation in terms of smoking in public places, owners of restaurants, for example, not making sure that they are designated smoking areas, etc. So based on the complaints that we received within the department.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think the question that I've raised, it was in two parts. And the first one, I think I did not get a comment, but the kind of comment I've received has tried to make it more important for me to re-ask the question. Because I wanted to know from the department's point of view whether there is any benefit of the use of tobacco products. But then the answer that I've received was that the aim of the bill is to caution current smokers to reduce their smoking, you know, to reduce their risk. Now, the question that arises is, are there any scientifically established levels of tobacco use which does not pose any health risk to the people? I think
that the
charge
section will be the first step. The question the chair would answer is if they are not. Health tobacco is a health hazard.
Yes, Chair, I think that if that is the case, then the one would be asking the department, why don't we then have an intention to ban smoking? That's the question I'll definitely ask.
I think the chair would also respond here by saying that the issue with the liberal concept, as we're approaching the legislation on the 3 months that the industry, the legal industry, not like your data industry or your hashish industry. This is a legal industry that has got certain economic activities that are taking place. But there are certain health hazards recognized across the health fraternity and the world at large, that tobacco is a health hazard. And in this regard, there must be certain regulations towards ensuring, when possible, even over time, reducing the number of smokers where possible. So that's an intention. So as we move forward, conscientizing the people of the we may arrive at this situation, but we're not going to approach it on the sledgehammer approach to say it must be better. That would be a very bad point. But we must get a barakat stage here that tobacco is a health problem. I thought the chair would respond to this question. Thank you very much. Honorable Martin.
Chair, maybe one needs to come back to Section 36 of of the amendment in terms of advertising, labeling, and what it is. Now, when it comes to an issue of advertising, I just want to know from the department as to whether there will be no situation of some sort of monopoly for all these tobacco companies. If you say maybe we need to regulate in terms of 1, 2, 3, in terms of advertising. And again, around an issue of labeling, we have heard sometime last year from Fragment that there are 400 chemicals included in a cigarette car. I don't know what you call that. Included. Now, will they make a point that this package of a cigarette, because when you buy, for instance, when you buy a soft drink, maybe Lucozade and what have you, they will show to you that there is this in Lucozade, what so much contains and so much contains. Now, I just want to know that all this will be, if indeed the department is going to regulate effectively, all those sort of things will be labeled in that cigarette package. And lastly, I just want to know, because you know where the problem is around the street now, whereby our youngsters can get a cigarette at any given time from the street or from in a township language, from the tax shops or what it is. And again, in a township language, father or what it is. In a township language, they call it a loose draw. A youngster can get at any given time in a plaza and buy that loose draw. Now, how am I going to deal with issues like that?
Thank you, Chair. The issue around the listing and the publication of all these chemicals cannot be done on the packaging of a packet of cigarettes, for example. These things need to be listed, and that is part of communication to the public to indicate those chemicals at 4,600 charge. And instead, those the main risky chemicals, those should be included in the packaging. But the rest cannot, as I said, it's impossible to list all of those on a single packet of cigarettes. The issue around selling loose cigarettes, that's also addressed through this legislation, whereby again it is the communication of the practical implication of this legislation that will determine its success, because it also requires, as the Honourable Member indicated, interpretation and understanding in a particular language of what these things mean. And that then is part of the implementation strategy of the legislation to communicate those kinds of things to communities at different levels and within a language that everybody can understand, but also the level of understanding. The legislation to most of us might be foreign, but it needs to be simplified so that people understand what is required of them.
You may have to come back to that question. What time are you going to see? So that we can understand whether when you say the most dangerous chemicals, we understand what legislation is for. What are the matters?
Thank you, Chair. I'm satisfied by the question, the answer that was provided by the Department of Health. I can say the method that will be used here will be public education, but that will educate the community. And hopefully this is going to be done by the department and other stakeholders within the community. But I would add to the department that it should urge the institutions at the implementation level to actually have programs which will have indicators whereby monitoring the implementation of this public education program can actually be monitored, because for me experience has shown that if there can be good programs, but if there are no indicators within the institutional system, it's very, very difficult to monitor, and it's very, very difficult to construct the implementation. And as I reach the issue of the penalty, I was a little bit worried because penalties involve money, whereby maybe that situation can be abused by whoever, when I can ask who's actually going to come up with the monitoring and the enforcement. But I'm happy when I go down and subsection 8 on penalties, it actually says the owner of the public, the one who is going to have regulations, which I think to reinforce that again, even if there are regulations, the department should say to be the assistant to monitor those, because if there are regulations, there is no monitoring. For me, the exercise will just be a waste of time. Thank you, Chief.
I just want to find out whether all this chemical stuff now, can the department have a process of removing them from the system? I used to smoke, and I don't know what actually compels me to smoke, but when I wanted to smoke, I wanted to now, yes. The nicotine part of it, if it is removed completely from the cigarette by the manufacturer, can cigarettes still be the cigarettes that I used to smoke?
Yes.
Yes.
Regarding the chemicals in the tobacco products, that is why in the bill there is a clause where it indicated that the bill will allow the regulation of those chemicals in the tobacco products. Because at the present moment, the current act regulates nicotine and tar, and also coming to the point where this won't be there in the cigarettes, in the tobacco products. With time, because in terms of the regulation, like before June 2006, the nicotine and the tar level were high. Now, in 2006, they were reduced. Nicotine from 1.5 milligram to 1.2, tar from 12.15 to 12 milligrams. Now, in line with the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, it is a requirement that even other chemicals that are in the tobacco product should be regulated. Meaning that from those 4,600, there must be some disclosure and also regulation. Thank you.
I think that is the question, because we have not to comply with the program as provided. In this regard, I shall call to over the National Council against Smoking. This is a new week, a very good director.
On behalf of the National Council Against Smoking, I'd like to thank you for giving us the honor to address this committee on what we consider to be a very important issue. The Tobacco Products Control Bill that's before you, we think, will improve health not only in South Africa, but across our continent. Because African countries in sub-Saharan Africa look to us and our legislation as a role model for their own country. And I'd also like to remind you that the representative for the sub-Saharan African region of the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control is South Africa. So we do hold a very strong position and esteem amongst our colleagues. Now, the Council has prepared a detailed submission on the bill, which we did give in last October. And I have got copies if you want them. In my presentation this morning, I just want to highlight a few points. And the first point I'd like to make is that we all grossly, grossly underestimate the death caused by tobacco. When you talk of 5 million deaths every year, it's just a figure. It's a number that means nothing to us. When we talk of 30,000 deaths in South Africa, it's a number that means nothing to us. But imagine if a jumbo jet crashed today and killed everybody on board. And on Saturday, another jumbo jet crashed and killed everybody on board. And 4 days later on Wednesday, another one crashed and killed everybody. And 4 days later, and every day for a year, a jumbo jet crashed and killed people. That's the number of people that are killed by tobacco every year in South Africa alone. If jumbo jets came crashing down like that, what would happen? What would be the public reaction? There would be an outcry. What would be the government's reaction? If the government didn't take immediate action to prevent airplanes from flying, there would be a major reaction. And if the airline company said, hey, flying is a pleasure and it's a personal choice of people to fly, what would our reaction be? Now that is the number of people that we are talking about that are killed by tobacco every year. The only difference is that the people who are killed by tobacco are dying in hospitals and they're dying in their homes. You don't see the spectacular crashes in our newspapers. But that is the problem we are addressing, and we mustn't underestimate the problem with this disease. As the next slide shows, there are only two major causes of death that are increasing rapidly around the world. Death from HIV and death from tobacco. The department has already told you we're going to go from 5 million deaths now to 30 million in the next 25 years, with most of those deaths in the fourth country. To address the specifics of the bill, I just want to quickly go through the
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Saluji, for your presentation. I'm interested from your own research from your organization about the prevalence of smoking and the effects of legislation as it stands on the prevalence of smoking in South Africa. I do understand that officially it says that there has been a slight drop, and obviously that is to be applauded. That's an excellent news. We all want that. But we want to break it, but it certainly has a drop, nevertheless. My question, whenever I look at those statistics, though, and I certainly want them to drop and drop substantially, is I always wonder about the methodology of working out the incidences of smoking, and whether it is determined from the point of sale, and therefore at point of legal sale, because that is all that could be effectively monitored by use of the syntax as a measurement, or whether it is somehow done according to a representative sample of a survey, whether that's and so in some sort of quantitative means that is extrapolated across an entire population. And the reason I ask, and I think you probably know why I ask it, is I'm interested to know whether there has been, in your opinion, any effect on the black market trade in cigarettes post the previous amendment to the legislation. And if it is the first way of measuring incidence of smoking, whether those figures are indeed accurate, because they possibly do not take into account the incidence of illegal cigarettes in South Africa.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Doctor. I'd like to ask one question relating to snus. You're indicating it on the surface may appear to be less harmful, but the actual fact is not. Are there any dental concerns with regard to that? But if you didn't mention any in that regard, thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. You boosted my memory. what I want to ask Doctor is you spoke about changes and all this to attract minors into smoking. What I want to know is, did you ever look into the definition of glue and what is the government, what can you do? Thank you.
When we look at measured smoking, we look at two measures: the number of people who use tobacco products, and particularly cigarettes, and the amount of cigarettes smoked in the country. Now, the amount of cigarette smoke usually comes from Treasury, and therefore will underestimate the smuggling aspect of it. But the data we have on the prevalence of tobacco mostly comes from two sources. The Medical Research Council, which does surveys every now and again. We go out into homes and we ask people. And the other group of people who do surveys are the South African Advertising Research Foundation staff. They do regular annual surveys of who is using what commercial tobacco products. And one of the questions they answer is, are you smoking cigarettes? And the answer from both of those sources, the numbers of cigarettes legally sold in South Africa has dropped and dropped significantly by between 30-40%. The numbers of smokers in South Africa, the number of people who smoke, and their smuggling no longer plays a role because you either smoke or you don't smoke, has also dropped from about 30% in 1994 to about 23% now. In 1994, there were 8.5 million smokers in South Africa. Now there are 5 million smokers. 3.5 million people have stopped smoking, and what that means is between 3 million to 1.5 million have reduced their risk of lung cancer, heart attack, lung diseases, emphysema, bronchitis, and all sorts of things. So our tobacco control legislation has worked and worked very well. There's an MRT study which shows that the number of children who've never taken a single puff on a cigarette increased between 1999 and 2002. And 2002 was still very early on in our ban on tobacco advertising. So South Africa's tobacco control rules are working. The next question is, I must just make sure that I am understood. We think most of us agree that smoke is less dangerous than cigarettes. But then anything is less dangerous than cigarettes. That's the most dangerous form of tobacco use you can possibly get. We're debating, the point of smoke is that it's not safe. And it's still something that's been investigated. The only countries that have used smoke for a long enough period of time to have some information is the Scandinavian countries, like Sweden, Norway, and Denmark. They've used smoke, and the evidence for that suggests that it's not as harmful, certainly not as harmful as cigarettes. You ask, and as I said, there's no risk of oral cancer. If you ask about dental diseases, and there's absolute evidence that snus does increase the incidence of dental diseases. Absolutely true. And it even causes something called leukoplakia, which is a precursor for cancer, which is white growth in the mouth. And there's an increased incidence of the symptom of leukoplakia with people who use snus as well. Flipping glue. I've always asked about other drugs. And the answer, unfortunately, is I work for the National Council Against Smoking, and although watching children smoke glue breaks my heart, I've not studied it, so I can't tell you certain things what I think most people would say. Really dangerous, and we need to discuss it. But I don't know more beyond that. I also often ask about DACA. And you know, they say to you, gut upset. And my answer to that is always, the human lung is designed to breathe clean air. Smoke, whether it comes from Dhaka, tobacco, or barbecue, is bad for the human lung. Smoking is saving. You're quite right. The exposures, except for cricketing, where you can sit for 5 days in the test room. And interestingly enough, when the World Cup of Cricket was held in South Africa, our sports station, the venues where you played were smoke-free. If you wanted to smoke, you had to leave the spectator area and go to the back of the stand outside the viewing area to smoke. And the World Cup of Cricket worked very well in South Africa. I think people underestimate how people's respect for the law. The majority of South Africans are law-abiding and do observe the law. And especially when they know it makes sense. Things like, nobody wants you to smoke it. So I think it works. Now, you ask, is it dangerous? As I said, for ordinary people, probably not. It's an inconvenience and it's a nuisance. It just makes it somebody and smokes coming into your face and you get annoyed. But is it harmful to my health? Probably not. Unless I have heart disease. If I've got heart disease, there's a study showing that even short-term exposure to secondhand smoke of 30 minutes can produce changes in the blood supply to the heart and may provoke the heart. So for people with heart disease and people with asthma, sitting next to a smoker even for a very short period of time can bring on health problems. I think I've done the first question. Thank you.
cannot be counted.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Joseph. It's very clear from your presentation that smoking kills and smoking is a health hazard. They are not just trying to scare, those are sex sensitive. That will be the survey that you have done, please. However, I would like to recommend some modifications in your submission under a regulatory approach. Sounds like over. It's about penalty.
Yes.
It's an issue whereby all of us need to come together and resolve all the matters. And that's which I mainly want me to say. As legislators, everyone in this country has faith and hope upon us as to how do we make the law, whether unpopular or popular laws, but everyone in this country has hope upon us. Chair, I want to conclude by saying one needs to look critically in that section which prohibits smoking in workplaces but allows it in private homes. I thank you.
I'm very interested to know what happened in the Soccer World Cup in Germany. I'm not quite sure whether smoking was allowed or not, or if you can perhaps say anything like this, because it will also guide us in relation to 2010. I must say I would be in favor of ban smoking in the stadiums, whereas open stadiums are closed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks, Doctor. Yes, I think, Doctor, the same as the Constitution allows people to do what they want to in their child. So I think it's the same for the worker also. If you don't want to be in that environment, so the environment you want to be. Thank you, thank you.
Just imagine this. Normally, before we look to who can help us in our houses, we normally do interviews. I think we should. But the worker again should maybe try to ask. But more if there is somebody smoking in that house, we still need one to enter from the door.
I hear what you're saying, but just remember the high levels of unemployment in our country. Domestic workers don't have a choice. They can't say, I'll work for you because you're providing a good environment and I won't work for you. They don't have choices. And that's why the law is important. The law is the only thing that can protect you. We reduce occupational health loss to improve the working conditions of people in this country. This is the future of domestic workers in the future.
Likely to be a counterpart of equality Now that we are actually entering the business of the potato industry, one will then deduct that there will be counter activity to sustain the business. And then I just wanted to know what is the doctor's comment.
I don't think I understood the question properly. If there is something I think I understood, will there be economic consequences for the country if it's smoking? Is that the question?
Yes.
You say the people will find nutrients to the convention of this problem. How are we looking at the law? I think it's related to the question I thought very clear on by one of the market.
I think you're absolutely right. It's unfortunate that the cigarette companies go as close to the edges of the law as they possibly can. And that's the reason why we go into the cycle. So we do something, then they find loopholes, we close the loopholes, they find it's like the tax law. We make tax laws, tax lawyers find loopholes, then the government closes the tax those loopholes, then they find more loopholes. It's unfortunate that that still goes down to the government because, but we have no choice. We have to close those loopholes. We can't allow them to continue targeting young people. And as I said before, to the U.S. has said, lie to people and to people. We can't allow them.
I'm obviously in favour of the closing of the loopholes, but I'm wondering if any research has been done in terms of how it impacts on other behaviour. For example, I know when we were in Australia, they were talking about all of the new things possible with the petrol sniffing has increased and many, many other oddities that people were using, all kinds of things. And I'm just wondering how that relates to the regulation on smoking and if there's been any research.
Certainly there's been no research in South Africa, but the international experience is very clear that giving up smoking does not result in increased drug use and abuse of other substances. Remember why people start smoking is because they think it's clever and smart and they're smoking a good thing about it. Then they become addicted and they have to break the addiction. But breaking the addiction doesn't mean replacing one addiction with another. The only addiction I suggest people replace smoking with is the addiction of exercise. I think that's a healthy addiction. But we don't have to replace negative addictions with other negative addictions. And there's no evidence that drug use has gone up in other countries. And you remember most of the Western countries have a huge excess of these things in the
now, if you look into a clause on the same page, in page 3, on the designation of the tobacco program, there is a number of tobacco programs. I used to find that in that listing, no specific system. Well,
I think if you look at the definition of the tobacco product, the old definition said it's a product that was slipped, chewed, or sucked. And the tobacco industry maintains, and I think not rightly, that slipped is not chewed, it's not smoked, and it's not sucked. When I think you put it into your mouth, and you moisten it and suck it. But the new definition of a tobacco product in the bill says, a product made of tobacco intended for human consumption. Slipped is made out of tobacco and it's intended for human consumption, and that covers tobacco products.
Any other questions?
This is Leonie, he is the director of details of the program, and we will take it from the resources.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, who represent the Health Ministry of South Africa, for the previous church concerns that everything in this church to you regarding.
Thank you. Interesting with regards to your point 2.6 verse and advertising. I'd like to refer to examples of where in the last 5 years in we've seen advertising emanating in South Africa, which sports stars puffing away and cigarettes associated with most car racing and macho men and successful business.
Yes, it is emanating in the children's minds because they are seeing sports stars. And when we try and get them to come in onto a certain program, they basically afraid because their life as such, the life of the particular man, is true.
I'm interested to know where you see the adverts with a sense for television, because it's banned in South Africa. So are you saying this is television and movies, or watching F1 Grand Prix from emanating from another country? I mean, I'm not sure whether I don't doubt the power of the adverts advertising. I mean, there's a reason why it's dealt with previous formations of this book, but I'm not aware, you know, if you think of Benson and Hedges used to sponsor cricket, that no longer happens. There have been other cigarette companies that sponsor other sports, it no longer happens. I'm not aware of seeing our sportsmen in South Africa from any of our major teams sponsoring cricket. So I'm just questioning this thought 2.6.
May I respond, Mr. Chairman? Well, it may be quite evident in our country because of the controlling laws regarding the advertising of tobacco products directly. There are pictures that come through on the news and the films and in other situations of hero figures for the younger generation. And the tobacco industry doesn't have to advertise. The heroes speak in their mind and they wish to replicate the behavior in their own lives. So the subversive of the point that you raised, 2.6 as you mentioned, subtlety is evident in pictures portrayed from media. It may not come through directly that it's sponsored by, as you mentioned, Benson and Hedges and other companies. Yes, there is the lifestyle that is represented by such pictures and such heroes.
So I just want to get to the start. Are you saying that you know you would like to ban images of cigarettes in the media and down to like films, serials, soap operas, everything? I want to know why you are proposing something further?
I think that here we are proposing that basically anything that may put into a child's mind that this is a hero who is involved in a lifestyle which is not suited with a healthy life should be there.
Let me answer my question because I was going to ask whether the organization then was saying that the IT and saying of the amendments then, or whether there were any specific amendments you wanted to make to this, and if so, if you could point out what the specifics are, would help us keep it more clearly in mind when we come to deliberate. Mr. Chairman, may I respond to that? The issue of children. Being exposed to cigarette smoking in the privacy of their dwelling, private homes, whatever it may be, where legislation isn't strong enough to prosecute the offenders, generally would be grown-ups in in that environment also wish to know and wish to strengthen the hands of those who have the authority to ensure that the work that a residence where persons are employed on domestic duties, that that also be declared a workplace. After all, they are required to pay UIF and workman's compensation and pension fund and what is. If there could be a regulation that will prescribe a salary, minimum salary, I think it should also enforce that that particular residence is declared as a workplace to protect the employee from potential damages.
Thank you, Chair. One page, that is the last page of the presentation, that is on 2.8. Initially, I should think one understands what the work of the FTCC is, the framework. Number one is to increase time, and secondly is to close loopholes. Now, I just want to check with the presenters as to whether the framework haven't or didn't yet execute its mandate as an organization in terms of this statement. Because to me, it says the framework has never done anything ever since. And South Africa is a constant challenge to the framework. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to say. I think we signed the framework through the presentation, not yet. So the actual implementation of the federal convention is the quality of the advantage of the short of Africa in the provision that says that the federal convention actual implementation is for among others.
I want to agree with the presenter that aspects should not be dictated to the ocean. Because I remember the story of Max Civilian, which where he came up to the field. And our FC was sitting with my children actually watching the TV. They would say, yeah, it means when it's going to smoke, it comes to visualize this pavilion. And when they look at the reflex, as they can see, they would say, what is stated in the mind type? The child's mind. They say, yes, these people who are asleep, at least got the food. They are, they will be like, bump the gorilla. So clearly, there is something in the mind of children. That's why when you go into a kind of mind, you are cheesy. So I think, the things that the media, all the people are showing, they have to, that's true. They do not show.
I think we need to realize as well that it's not only the media that they see on the television. Cell phones today are sending messages like you can't believe. Singers, all these people are coming across with a very distant message. We're going to do all we can to basically curtail this really in the children's lives.
Thank you very much. The problem we are seeing. I don't see you in the economy. Most of them in the other
the youth and people going for national.
through the process getting into the system. But I don't see that process being affected. So that everyone is going to the question. And that's contending the question you are able to do. And I think also this particular thing, we are saying it's both the self enforcing the step by step, apart from other policies. But I think the submission says the problem is that little information, communication by the department around this question of social. And still the little part of the legislation, we hope momentum will continue, but nothing on the side of the department has to be maintained to promote the implementation effective of the end of summer.
During the next hour. I was invited by the people from NCATS and Peter and Yusuf to address you, and they told me, let's just talk a little bit about what you know about the whole tobacco scene, the dangers of active smoking, passive smoking, and kind of what you can do for those people, and to point out a little bit the importance of the whole issue. This is what I'm going to do. I would just like to apologize up front, as usually, this is the first time in my life to actually discuss speaking problems with people. Usually I'm going to medical conference and know exactly who is going to go what, because people generally hate so do I. But I haven't got a clue what has been said, what is going to be said, so you probably need to ask redundancy, but I made the whole presentation in a sort of probably entertaining format and give you also my feedback on some of the maybe you do. I want to start out with the history, because this is important. Traditionally, people used not to smoke, apart from the mayor in the middle of America, so that's where exactly the tobacco plant comes from. And that only changed in the Middle Ages with Columbus, who, among other things,
Thank you. I'm interested to know if you're aware of any studies or statistics on the effectiveness of the Canadian example of the images associated with the smoking on cigarette packs. So, for instance, decaying gums or pictures of black lungs and so on, which I was out in Canada a few years ago, and they take up a significant portion of the pack, and they're also visible even over a counter. And we just to compare that to current South African legislation, which has the health warning, of which there are variants. The high effectiveness, is that something that we should be looking at? I know it might be dealt with in a subsequent bill, but while you're here, I'd be interested to have your opinion.
My answer is, I'm not extremely knowledgeable in this particular area, so I speak a little bit on the correction, but I know that the horrific pictures have been used decades ago, also in Switzerland, for instance. The lung cancer, they had patients after laryngectomies with just a hole in the windpipe in the trachea, and they couldn't speak anymore, showed them on television. At that stage, it has not been very effective. It's incredible to what length the smoker goes, despite the extreme knowledge the showing these pictures all the time. So I have a doubt. Maybe there are newer studies that I haven't followed with which show slightly different results. I do not believe that it is extremely effective. The measures, the legislation, the pricing, etc., is much more effective. The thing is, what happens also now, currently in Switzerland, has also changed, even in Germany, which is more recalcitrant still than in Switzerland. If you legislate smoking to the extent where it becomes very difficult outside on the train, on the plane, etc., then the main
thing that's going to change is social acceptability. And if the norm, and that to me is by far the most powerful instrument that we have, if the norm in society becomes not to smoke, contrary to 1950, where that every second man smoked and you were a weakling if you didn't, it's extremely powerful, also for the young ones. So if your role model to society don't smoke or even quit, that's much more stronger than showing them a picture of a lung cancer. Don't forget the one thing. I remember when we had this in school, 13, 14 years old, and they showed you these pictures. They came, I remember this in grammar school. And they said, if you're 50, you're going to have lung cancer. If you are 13, 14, 60-year-olds are stone old. Do you think what you're going to do possibly at 50 is so far away, you are not, I think generations haven't changed. I don't think you're a friend. But if your sports superstar says, look, I used to smoke, but I stopped, etc., that's fine.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you explain the difference between the unfortunately that I don't smoke and my wife doesn't smoke, and I would like to appreciate, you know, what other couples feel when one of the couple do smoke, and when they are close to each other, what sort of experience are they having? The question is, you saying smoking is a preventive, can be prevented from causing a disease. Now, I actually just want to know how can that be done? As you said, it's actually a preventable thing from causing disease. How do you see it being prevented?
Well, I say it's the most important preventable cause of disease. So, the thing is just, you want to smoke. Boy, this is just, I don't know whether I understood the question. You must not smoke. And the main thing from the doctor's point of view is that you must give all the possible help to the smokers who are willing to quit, because it's so tough, and even with the best possible means, you probably only have 30% that actually stop after whatever you do after 1 year. So 70% will not make it, and they have to try again and again and again.
I'm just going to find out, can you elaborate a little bit on what you are saying when you say a tobacco company is not the
Look, again, I'm not a specialist in what all the tobacco companies do exactly, but if we look at the way that they moved away from using specific well-known people to more scenes of lifestyle, the indirect advertising, or what's currently happening in Europe, that you distribute some cigarettes freely at sports events in front of the door, or if you have a new legislation that says within 50 meters you're not allowed to distribute them, you just go 100 meters, you know. And but it has been addressed before. So I think they must not be underrated, because they've got very intelligent people. They have extremely brilliant, probably the best people in advertising. So all these things are done in a subtle way. What is, of course, true, what was said by the Seventh-day Adventist Church earlier, is it is quite amazing how many Hollywood movies still have a large percentage of their best-known actors smoking during movies. That is amazing. And they obviously got a huge amount of money. So, you see, you do it indirectly. And it is now maybe God knows who, you know, they just smoke. Sharon Stone, etc., and all these people, the latest movies. In Europe, it's incredible because people in movies that still smoke. Which doesn't reflect actually the smoking prevalence. So more actors smoke than you would actually expect with the slowly but certainly decreasing prevalence. So they're very subtle, indirect ways which are clearly visible. Now, you see, I mean, if you buy a second rate, SATC, the budget is up, and you buy a second rate American movie, you're probably not going to edit it and take out every single scene where somebody talks. That's expensive. So that's what I mean. The people are very clever. I circumvent many laws. But I don't think one should now say South Africa, for instance, not being very successful. I think it's a very successful ongoing campaign against tobacco. But the minute you release a little bit the pressure, they come back up, they go down the back.
Thank you, Chair. This public hearing has actually shown us the social, the economical and the medical perspective of the dangers in effect of smoking. We actually having a holistic approach on both situations. And I would say one thing that comes into my mind is that in South Africa, we are really, really lucky. Because our law has got such provisions, it changed in our constitution. If I have to talk about chapter 3 or chapter 4 of corporate governance, where it actually calls for all stakeholders to integrate, to have integrated approach, integrated progress, coordination. Because at the end of the day, as a doctor, professor has actually said out that he is a medical. And on the other side, there are economists, there are politicians. So what I have seen happening here, that just by this talking and the other presenters, it has really shown that we need each other. There is a need for us to partner and to work together. Both the universities, government, other stakeholders. Because as you can see from what I have learned today, there has been a lot of sharing for skills transference. And for me, if we have this broad cooperative approach, we are going to add value on any progress and implementation of those progress if we are together. Divided, we are going to fall. Together, there's going to be a lot of value added for our progress and our strategy in this stage of smoking. And once a strategy or once a progress comes up with value, it's very like this one that I see partnerships with here. That will be the most access in our country. Because at the end of the day, we'll begin our communities. Will save lives. So, I would like for us to all understand that chapter 3, yes. It's going for us. There is an enabling environment. What are we changing for? What are we waiting for? Because at the end of the day, there's nothing that we want to achieve but add value by saving lives. We have really seen in this meeting today that what are the risks of the environmental situation? What happens with the risks that affect the very environment where the people live. And Professor just come out with a disease like the poor pulmonary disease. Those are the diseases that attack
very, 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 very important organs in the body, like the heart, like the lungs. We saw the psychological step where there's going to be a infection or so, or where there's going to be less need of the blood vessels and lack of blood and oxygen to the body. So here I want to say partnership from chapter 4, chapter 3, the environment is fertile, let us have now the seed and together with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for everything that you have said. The only thing, Prof, what I want to know is, I remember the last time there was a presentation that showed that the chemical starts from the field. So not only in the shade tree. Now, what can we do to make sure that those chemicals are not being used in the field? Or what can we do, or what can be done, is there any harm to the cigarettes if there are no chemicals planted in the tobacco industry? I don't know whether you understand.
I'm not quite sure. You mean chemicals as far as tobacco plantations are concerned? Listen, I simply am not knowledgeable enough here. I cannot tell you what you're talking about, insecticides or what, or
the previous presentation that you were not seeing was saying that there are so many chemicals in the tobacco. And it does not start in the face, it starts from the tobacco throat.
I don't know whether actually the chemicals that you use on plantations finally are in the final product. I don't know. But the main problem, I can talk just a little bit about the composition of the cigarette itself. The one thing you mustn't forget is that, and that's also something that is purely economics. Tobacco surely doesn't want to kill the smoker. That's the worst thing you can do. You don't want to kill your customer. What you want is, if possible, somebody who would be addicted. That's good, because he eats the product, lives forever, because this is your income. So they try for many, many years to limit, of course, the toxic damages with the filters, etc. And it's in their interest to do that. But it is not possible to leave a cigarette attractive without changing it. And if you change the composition, for instance, the ideal thing would be a pure nicotine delivery device, like pharmaceuticals and nothing else. That's not enjoyable. So the ratio of the tar to the nicotine is usually about 10-fold. And you cannot reduce these toxins to the extent where all the carcinogens, everything would be taken out, because smokers stop using the products. So it's very, very difficult. But I'm convinced it doesn't make business sense that if you could, they would leave away these substances. As I say, you don't want to kill your customer. But then I'm not a chemist. I'm not a sort of analytical lab. I don't want to say anything further because I don't. I have a lack of confidence.
Thank you very much. Don't advocate the smoke. Continue making the smoke at least longer. Yeah, but I think we should thank the professor for the information. Once again, I think comes back to some deficiency that is concerned by the national country and we talk about all these things, energies and enforcement, including the working with the preventive amendments, but nothing on the government's responsibility to communities. Again, I think that the deficiency
Can I just make one further comment which might be interesting? I don't know exactly this slide, you know, they're not politicians, I don't know these figures. What the government actually spends for prevention and smoking cessation per year. I can tell you that in Switzerland, although they're much behind as far as legislation is concerned, comparison to South Africa, there used to be 5 million Swiss francs, that's so you multiply by 6 if you have rands, per year for tobacco prevention, and they up this time to 20 million per year. So there's a massive increase that they finally agreed upon, and this money is used for information campaigns at schools, for smoking cessation clinics, for education of doctors who become smoking cessation specialists, and so on and so forth. So I think, I don't know, as I said, the figures in South Africa, but from what I heard from in discussions with the people from NCAS, there seems to be very little money that is spent. And as I said, we seem to be the only smoking cessation clinic in Dagenberg Hospital countrywide, and that's clearly insufficient. And the funding must come to a certain extent from government, so I have no doubt.
Institute for Health and Development Communication is pleased to have the opportunity to comment on the bill. As you probably know, Soul City Institute is a locally and internationally acclaimed health promotion NGO. It uses the power of mass media to make information popular and accessible. It subscribes to the principles of the World Health Organization's Ottawa Charter. According to that charter, health is the product of a range of intersectoral actions that include building an enabling environment advocacy for health public policy, community action, developing personal skills, and reorienting the health services towards a health promotion approach. If this fits slightly to what you've got, I've probably pulled it down a little bit and added a bit currently. As I'm sure members of the committee are familiar with the Institute, programs, and work, I will not spend too much time describing it. However, let me say that Seoul City IHDC also views health and development as integrally related. Their health includes development and development incentives to improving global health. The Institute's flagship TV and radio program, Seoul City and Seoul Buddies, have reached 16 million South Africans and won a number of prestigious national and international awards. Each series takes 2 years to develop. During this time, intensive research and consultation is undertaken. Substance abuse and its concomitant health and social effects are critical elements of the work of the Institute. There is a consistent message about substance abuse and its negative effects in all our areas. In assessing the impact of this message, I want to refer to the US Mass Media campaign in Vermont and California. According to Tobacco Free Kids, programs of this nature can impact positively on preventing teens from starting to smoke. In Vermont, students exposed to media campaigns in school and health education programs were 35% less likely to have smoked in the past week than were students exposed only to the school program. And this preventive effect continued to last 2 years following the end of the program. The California multi-year tobacco control media campaign led to a high level of awareness in young people and may have been a contributing factor in reducing teen smoking. It has also directly influenced 33,000 Californians to quit in 1990 to 1991 and contributed to quitting of another 170.
We break for lunch. We are all invited to lunch to the new program, Mastic. Mastic is outside the table. We are all invited to attend lunch. Then we come back here. 14 hours to start the questions. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, those who don't know where the MAPS building is, Nontando, could you assist our guests with this? Please. Thank you.
No, I haven't been far off.
I want to go back to the other day.
Yes, very much aware.
It was spring up on the pop-up. It was pop-up. I like to see the other school on the
Yes.
No, no,
do you need me or can I go?
No, no, no.
Yes, okay, good. Yes, yes. My mind is a bit of other friends who listen to four days, but I hardly ever see them communicate. But she's just never available and I'm available, so we are able to see each other. And she says, just heard your voice on the radio. Did I just come to interviews last night?
No, long after you left the film, she's still there.
Oh, yes.
So there is power in the air.
There's no question. They still just say, yeah. It's my pleasure. I took such when I left the office with Nompi. That's like my granddad. It's Nompi. Didn't it be there? Because I don't know who can be there. And I'm not there.
Yeah.
She came from America. She should have had. You know, she didn't bring us with her. So, I don't know. She gave me a handful. I put them in my pocket. I put one on my leather jacket. But now this one that I put on this morning is too far under the straps. I put another one there.
Yeah.
Everywhere, yes.
Can you hear me?